We got a special guest tonight, a friend of me and Johnny's. Well, we got a few people here tonight, but, you know, in the hot seat tonight.
On the hot seat.
We got our guy Tarzan, who I just met. I met him in Medellin, Colombia, or Medellin, as us Colombians say, right? Yeah, going back, what are we talking about?
We're talking about that guy, Pelito, man. He's a genuine guy, man. I love that guy, man. I always go to his neighborhood, chill. Even like, you know, a lot of those guys who work on the streets and try to help you get into clubs and get the boats and stuff. A lot of them are kind of like shady, kind of slimy, kind of scammers and stuff. But he's a real genuine dude. I even left all my bags in his house while I was waiting on a ride back to the town Tulu.
Yeah.
I left all my bags in his house. Everything was fine. So, no, that's like out of people in Cartagena, it's probably the most trustworthy, genuine guy I met. Because a lot of those dudes, you know, I wouldn't trust him too much, you know?
Yeah, especially if you're a gringo, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, you're a little different. But, yeah, they live off that.
Cool. No, I can see both sides of the thing, but like, you know, some people do the job a little more honest than other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people try to scam you, squeeze every penny. Other people like, yo, if I make good friends, well, I'll be cool with Bean Shooter when he comes back. We'll link back up and give me another little tip and I'll keep making money like that. So it's like, you know, you can tell the quality of the people. Some of the people out there, you know, just trying to get that quick buck right then and they don't care what happens to you.
Remember he was hanging out of the car at the fucking gas station? Was he throwing up or something? He'd been doing a little toasty or something.
I wouldn't be surprised, man.
It's a long day.
Yeah. You know the toasty, Donald? You know what that is?
No.
That's like this pink...
It's like a big famous thing in Colombia. It's like this pink powder, right? They call it like pink Coke, but it's nothing like Coke. It's got like, you can say ketamine... ecstasy, MDMA.
The
like
best stuff ever.
If me and Mike ever relapse, that's what we're doing.
I've said it. That Donna, you know, if I ever decide to, you know, use again, that's first on the list. Then chocolate mushroom bars.
There you go.
You know, but that's just, you know.
Just saying, if it ever did happen.
Just saying, you know what
but
I mean?
But honest to God, everybody that knows me and Mike, I'm saying that's what we kind of just feed off each other. And we're always, we're just... we're seasoned veterans at it. It's not in our DNA anymore.
It's like that lawyer in Boston. Did you see when they arrested him on the boat in the harbor and he had like, you know, 10 hookers and they found out, you know, all kinds of drugs, this and that. And, you know, come out like he found out he was terminally ill and he had like 6 months to live. And I'm like, yep.
Fucking right.
Yeah, you know what he did? He got a boat. He filled it up with hookers and fucking
drugs
and bodies. Like,
I mean, all right. What else do you do when you find out you got 6 months to live, man?
Yeah.
You know? You got to live that last bit of life.
You do it right. Yeah. Like he did.
Forget who's judging you, man. You got 6 months. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, forget who's judging you anyway, but it's hard not to. People always got shit to say, you know? You do something good, oh, he's doing it for himself, or he's making money. You do something bad, oh, he's a shitbag. Like, no matter what you do, people are gonna, you know, they're gonna say shit. So you can't, like, at the end of the day, it's like if a close friend of mine or my family or someone, you know, says something about me or is unhappy with something I did, then it's gonna bum me out and I'm gonna think about it.
But if it's
some fucking troll on the internet or some, you know,
some guy with no followers that doesn't want to show his face,
picture and nothing.
Or even just some shit bag, you know, like. They're not, you know, they're not part of my life. It doesn't concern me what they think. I mean, yeah, you don't want people trashing you, but people are going to do it. You know, they have nothing better to do, you know? So out of all the places you've been, when did Colombia become, you know?
I don't know. I just started falling in love with Colombia more and more. I mean, the culture's so fun. The people are so nice. Everything about it is just like you know, it's just so free over there. You really feel like you can do what you want. You can be who you want to be. Like, people don't judge you. They don't.
Yeah,
it's, people are more friendly to you, more open and stuff. Versus over here, I feel like people are more closed off. They're more like wary. Versus people over there, see, like, hey, what's up? Oh, gringo, what's up? You're in my neighborhood. What's up? What are you doing over here? You want a beer? What are you?
Yeah.
What's going on? People are more friendly, more open. So, it, like, that also helped me learn the Spanish and stuff, because people are always trying to talk to me all the time. So I was like, oh God, I got to really learn how to speak Spanish. Like, I started speaking a little Spanish. Like I told you, with Google Translate and everything.
Yeah.
But like basic stuff. So once I started traveling, that's how I really started to like improve my Spanish.
Yeah.
And then once I hit Colombia, because I went to Mexico, I traveled there for about a year and stuff. I had a great time in Mexico. But once I like hit Colombia, that's when my Spanish really took off. That's when I really started getting into it with the culture and stuff like that.
Where'd you go in Mexico?
I went to Playa del Carmen, Cancun, Tulum. I went there for a little bit. I also went to like Mexico City.
Yeah.
Puebla. Puebla's really underrated city. They got amazing food there, great architecture, really great prices. They got the oldest inhabited city in Mexico, and they got this colonial architecture, these big sandwiches they make over there. It's great. And then Oaxaca is also really cool.
Oaxaca.
They got the
golden beaches.
I never heard of it.
It's they got the beautiful like golden beaches. They got like a lot of these hippie towns.
Oh yeah.
Like the hippiest thing you've ever seen. Everybody's got like locks and just walking around like eating like, I don't know, vegetarian snacks and stuff, like a bunch of hippie stuff.
Birkenstocks and
no socks on. They got like, you can see how long people been there by how long their beard is. Wow. They just hippie, you know. I remember I went on one of these like hippie beaches and I was like, you know, I got like chilling and stuff, but I'm not a big like hippie, you know. I like to be nice and clean and like,
yeah.
You know? And I go,
hippies are dirty, dirty people.
They are pretty dirty, man. I can't lie, man. And I went on this beach. It was great. We were just like having some of this traditional like cream liquor they make. They make mezcal over there in Oaxaca.
Oh, yeah.
They even make like a cream liquor with it. We were having a little bit of that sitting on this beautiful beach. All the dogs had bandanas and were like catching frisbees. All these hippies out.
Were you tripping?
I was like, I had to like fucking pinch myself, make sure I wasn't tripping. I'm like, man, this is the hippiest place I ever been. All these dogs just know how to catch frisbees. I'm like, where am I at? I swear to God, I'm like, how do all these dogs know how to catch frisbees, man? How did all these people get frisbees? I'm like, what is going on here?
So when did the traveling start? With your father?
So the traveling started.
Big man.
Yeah, man. My dad really did inspire me to travel. You know, he came from England and stuff, so he's already he traveled here to look
for. Is that why he's got the nickname? What's his nickname?
English J, man. English J.
All makes sense. My guy, English J. No, he is the best. So, I mean, obviously, he did a good job with you, man. You know, he showed you the world, right? I mean,
like you always told me, like, you got to live life. You're young. Forget about just getting a bunch of responsibilities and stacking them on top of each other, and then you can never do anything. He's like, yo, you're young, travel, get to know the world, find out what you really want to do instead of doing something that you just don't really actually care about, just slaving away till you die. That's why I really started with the YouTube and making the videos on Facebook and stuff. It's because, you know, I figured this is what I really want to do. I'd rather invest 4 or 5 years into my channel, my content, than invest 4 or 5 years into doctor school, which I won't want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe pass, maybe fail. Then get out and then have to be a doctor for the rest of my life, something I don't want to do. Might as well just put my years into doing something I'm passionate about, traveling, showing the culture, telling crazy stories.
Yeah, something you have fun doing and enjoy.
Exactly.
It's the best. Like Johnny, I opened up Johnny's eyes. Got Johnny. We got Johnny, his passport. So Donald, I got my friend Donald here with me. He's over there. So I don't know if you know about Johnny. Did you ever watch any of our podcasts or anything?
No.
Okay, so Johnny, you know he was in prison and everything?
No.
Okay, so tell him a little bit about yourself.
So I was in prison for 27 years. I did 27 straight years in prison. And, you know, when I come out, I was, you know, anxious to, like, you know, kind of tell my story. And we have a mutual friend, his name is Ika, who was with us the other night, as a matter of fact. And he introduced me and Mike together. So me and Mike did a podcast back here in, I don't know, maybe a year ago, probably about a year ago. And ever since then, me and Mike kind of been joined at the hip. And, you know, I always see Mike going to Columbia. It's like every other month, Mike was in Columbia, and I'm looking at, and then he's sending me videos, and I'm watching the stuff online, and I was like, yo, I want to go. I want to go. First thing I did anyway was get my passport, even before, you know, I knew Mike. It was just something that I had to, you know, I had these responsibilities that I knew I had to take care of. So I, one of them was getting a passport, my license, all this stuff. So, you know, I had permission to travel. One time we went to Florida, so I was with Mike. You know, me and Mike kind of been, you know, Mike's been giving me kind of the tour, you know what I'm saying? So we started in the United States. Then we finally branched out to Colombia and, you know.
And tell him about you. He learned Spanish in prison.
So I did. I learned Spanish. So I taught myself Spanish in prison. But, you know, Spanish for me, it was like I heard somebody speak it and it fascinated me. And Jay just brought up a very interesting point, and it's the, you know, it's the springboard for everything that anybody could ever do. It's passion, right? You're passionate about something. I was passionate about Spanish, so I learned it. I devised curriculums for people just learning, beginners, and I did, like, you know, two different curriculums in two different institutions. So I started to really learn it. I was hanging out with, like, the Puerto Ricans and the Dominicans. I got the name Puerto Rican John. That's what they started calling me in jail, because a lot of the people that taught me Spanish were Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, guys from the islands. And I always was telling Mike, listen, I want to go to a place where they speak Spanish. That's where I want to go. I want to go hang out. I'd rather speak Spanish than English. So, you know, I put the paperwork in. I think I put it in like 2 months in advance, and we made plans to go to Colombia, and we hung out down there, and it was, you know, it was like Mike met me at the airport, you know, one of those welcomes that only Mike can give you, you know what I mean, with the camera out, just as I suspected. Like, you know, everything from that day on, like, just everything. And it came a point, you know, I had like kind of an epiphany when I was there with Mike, and I was there with Jay as well in Cartagena, that I just everything's been going so great for me, you know, and I attribute it to like a lot of my friends and a lot of people that are involved. Jay got me, like, you know, to speak at a place in Brockton Rotary, and that kind of started. Really, that was the guy sitting right there. That was the springboard for all of this.
English,
you know,
Jay.
He said, "Why don't you come down and share your story with the Rotary?" And it went really, really good. It was like, you know, I even surprised myself, you know, and so I kind of been on this, you know, on this adventure of just, you know, sharing my story and hanging out with Mike. And, you know, Mike had a situation where a guy he had here didn't work out, and he was like, come on, we'll do the podcast, come on with me, you know. And now everybody recognizes me from doing the podcast, and like I kind of found a home here. And, you know, and you know, just the whole thing about Colombia was everything that could go right did go right. It was just everything meshed so well, and I just had, like, you know, the time of my life, and it all culminated with, you know, leaving, hanging out with Jay in Cartagena. And, you know, as fate would have it, I just got approved to go back again. So, I mean, it's just been this a world. My story is a whirlwind, you know, and everybody says, man, you deserve it. You did so long. If I got what I deserved, I'd be dead 100 times over. But everything is just a complete immense blessing for me. You know, and I say that not jokingly. I mean that, you know. So, but I just, you know, and my story, the only thing you can take from my story, you can take it, anybody can take it, is if you hang on long enough, your day in the sun's going to come. I waited almost 5,000 days for mine, but it came.
That's what I was talking to Donald today. I said, Donald, he got your passport. He just got his passport. I've been telling him, go down. And, you know, and especially after what happened today, I just left someone's wake, Tim Pacheco, good guy, cancer got him, 56, 57, I think he was, years old, you know, young. And it was a sad, sad thing, you know, going to that. And I just had another friend, Joe Franchulo, one of my best friends, die this week, right after Easter Sunday, cancer. No one knew he had it. He was getting skinnier and skinnier. And I was thinking maybe he was partying a little too hard. And I talked to him about it a couple of times. And he had lost both his parents to cancer. And I think he knew, you know, and he didn't want to go to the doctor. And by the time he got checked out, he was dead 3 days later. I was, you know, I got a text yesterday morning, did you hear about Joe? And I was just like, what the fuck? And when stuff like that happens, you know, and I was talking to you earlier, you know, I used to hang around with Donald. He was my co-defendant. His mother was my co-defendant. We had with the big marijuana case, and his house got raided down the projects once, and I had $13,000 in his freezer. And I went to get some dope, and I left him, and I copped some dope, and I did it. I'll never forget. I was laying on the couch. It was probably 92, 93, and I get a phone call to him. He's like, At the police station, can you come get me? I go, what happened? He goes, I walked in on a raid in my house and I just had 13,000. I wrapped it up and I hid it in his refrigerator, you know? And I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's.
They got it?
Yeah. Hey, then they went to safety deposit boxes, found all kinds of money. So it's this big article, 67-year-old woman and, you know, living in subsidized housing. And they found all this money. And it was a nightmare, you know. But we have
una pesadilla, as we say in Spanish, Mike.
But I know that's not good. A nightmare.
That's a nightmare,
so,
Mike.
Me and Donald have been through a lot. And he's a little older than me. But I always hang around with older guys, I think, growing up. I was always hanging around with older guys. And we were talking today, and he came down to Lowell, and we missed each other. And I called him, and he was on the bus heading back to Boston. He lives in Boston. And I said, I'm in Arlington going to this wake. Get off the bus, and, you know, I'll pick you up, and we'll meet up. And we were talking a lot, and I said, you know, fuck, you got to live your life now before it's fucking gone. You know, you get these reminders when somebody passes, right, at a young age or quick like that. And, you know, it scares me.
The shit out.
You know
out
what
of
I mean?
All we're doing is waiting for bad news at this age, Mike.
And like you said, can you imagine, like, you, that was the best advice your father could ever gave you. It made me think about, like, my daughter now, she goes to Lowell High. She leaves Lowell High. She goes to the Volk, takes a welding course. She leaves a welding course. She waits tables at a country club, and she's only 16, right? And I'm thinking of you. I'm like, wow. And, you know, my daughter's funny. She's like the only adult in the house this morning. I usually drive her to school. So she comes down this morning, and she's like, I already showered. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, my friend's picking me up. I go, you could have told me. I go, I wanted to take a shower too. Why'd you get in the shower first? She goes, I was welding yesterday. I had dirt all under my fingernails. What are you dirty from? Going to the Celtics game last night? She just roasts me all the time. But it's true. And the reason I'm saying this with you is, imagine you going to school, going to be a doctor, whatever it is. You go to college, you go to school, you get out of that. Then you're fucking working like crazy. Then something bad happens.
Gotta wait till 70 to retire or something.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you look back, and how many people do you see that retire and they're dead?
I didn't discourage anybody being a doctor. I want to say that. Don't do a dead end job for 10 years. You're 20 some time to fuck around and do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
If you say you've got a medical school, I'm like, yeah, go for medical school. Definitely. He's going to work at Dunkin' Donuts.
Access flight to Columbia, kid. You're going to Columbia University now.
Hey, it would have come in handy being a doctor. What happened when you got... So tell the story about what happened with the bull right before we got there.
I'll say the failing the Spanish three times wasn't a good precursor to medical school.
Yeah, it's not a good indicator of how medical school will go.
So for the bull running thing, man, I remember one of my friends was telling me, he was like, hey, man, come on, we're going to go do this thing. He didn't tell me what it was. So I'm like, whatever, man. He's like, come on, it's going to be good. So I get ready, reluctantly, I go. Take me on this like 2-hour drive into like the middle of nowhere. We go to just like this house, and I'm like eating lunch in this guy's house. I don't know what I'm gonna do. The lunch was great, by the way. Yeah. But then they take me to meet these bulls. I'm like up there, I'm like looking at these bulls, like, yeah, they're gonna let these bulls out on people. I'm like, what? And my boy's there, my boy Eric. Shout out to my boy Eric. He's crazy. He's always like smoking and stuff. So now he's going over to the bulls that are like in these big trucks. And he's smoking, and he's just blowing the smoke in there on the bulls. And the bulls are loving it. They're like, and they start fighting each other in the truck for the weed smoke, right? And the guy who's owning the bulls, he's like, hey, man, what are you going to get out of here, man? You can't be doing that with the bulls. He wants the bulls to be strong. He's thinking my friend's making the bulls relax and stuff.
That's funny.
And then I went in there for a little bit to see, like, the bulls run out. And everybody who was with me at the time was like, begging me, please, we didn't brought you here to see this. We didn't bring you here to die. Please. They like literally had to drag me out of the bull running event. And that was my first time. And after that, I kept going and I kept getting slightly closer and closer to the bull. And this last time, man, I was feeling real good. I was waiting outside the door.
I think the last words in the video was, the bulls are getting closer. That was the last thing I heard.
That's what he said. That's what he said in the video.
Even I'm walking around and I seen all their lassos and I'm like, shh. I said, I'm more scared of these cables than the bull.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and that's what
really fucked you up.
So somebody says, what's up to me? I say, what's up? I look back and the bull is real close. Starts coming towards me. So I'm like, oh shit. So I start running and I knew the bull was chasing behind me, right? But I look in front of me and I see these ropes and they're like about like waist high. I'm like, man, if I try to jump over these things, I'm getting a horn right up the
ass. Yeah, you're getting tangled. And then he's going to gore you.
I said, even if I don't run, I'm still probably going to get a horn up the ass. And I thought, man, I'd probably rather die than get a horn up the ass. That's not going viral. So I turned around and the bull was right in front of me. I'm like, oh shit, dude, I'm going to die, man. So I just jumped to the side. I pushed off the bull's head, just like the craziest instinct.
Yeah.
And I fell
to the worked. Side. It worked. And it would have worked.
Yeah, and there's a picture of the rope. Horn goes right by my thing. The horn almost got me right there. And a lot of people do pass away doing that. So I was thankful. So I pushed off the bull. I rolled because the rope pulled me. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, yo, I'm alive. Like, the bull didn't get me. I'm like, all right, I'm about to get up. So I get up and I go to get up and I fall down. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I go to get up again and I like feel my ankle weird and I fall down again. And I look at it, it's like hanging sideways. I'm like, oh fuck, no! Yeah. I got the live reaction to release. Oh no!
So it all makes sense now that you wanted to go back in on crutches. No, I get it now. I get it now.
Really?
I figured, you know, with the crutches, I can probably climb up onto the fence and hide on the fence, and then I will be at least safer than when I was running around.
But, oof. I was just like, I'm gonna stay on the outskirts. I had a plan. You know,
facts.
I mean, everybody has a plan. What did Mike Tyson say? In the face. Yeah, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. That's a Mike Tyson line. Everyone has a plan until the bull's
horn is in. You're impaled on the bull's horn. Come on, man.
I don't know. I was confident with you. I would have followed you into the depths of hell. But nice.
Now that my ankle's pretty much better, you already know. Next trip, part two.
Next trip. Well, what do you mean next trip? A week.
Yeah.
8 days.
So what about that? Is there any more bullfights going on?
So what happens is like little towns for the birthday of the towns, like all these little towns, like imagine if US all the towns had like festivals of the town. So they have big parties for a bunch of days and they end it the last weekend with the bull running events and they have concerts after and stuff. So it's like to celebrate the birthday of the town and they also do the bull running events and stuff. So they happen in little towns all around and people come from all around to watch the events.
It's crazy after like the little concerts they have after the bullfights. They're just sitting there, all these people, and they'll be older people in like these little beach chairs and lawn chairs, like drinking, have a good time. And they got these speakers.
No.
And the music.
No, listen.
Fucking loud. And they're like, sipping like it.
No, what about the guy we were across the street after we left? There's a guy, the speaker is literally right here, and he's here drinking with some, and they're having a fucking conversation. How? I couldn't hear my hold on. I was like vibrating into the street because of the bass.
It was so far. It was unbearable.
We got a ride on a cart.
Yeah.
And when they're seeing the cops, they're like, two people got to get out and walk while the cops go by and we can get back in the car. Wow.
That's how I love amazing. The Colombian traffic laws, right? So you see the cops, they know they can't have three people in the little like tuk-tuks. So like, all right, two of you guys get out. I'm going to drive right past the police. Soon as I pass by him,
give them respect. 5 feet by them. We don't hold them back in.
Right in front of them, everybody just piled back into the car. It was so funny. We got out of the bull running event. The music's boom, boom, boom.
My God.
I'm like, hey, John, you want to go over there? He's like, yeah, I'm trying to get the ride home.
He's got the girl. She watch out, right?
Not there. Not even that. No, the funny thing about her is, I was like, you want to leave? She was like, nah, I'm cool. Like, you know, she's Colombian. She understands.
Loud music, man.
Yeah, the loud music, not for me. But I'm saying this wasn't loud music. There's loud music.
Concert style sound system, like a whole professional concert.
Heaven help
just
us.
Just at like somebody's house.
I had PTSD of like being in prison and everybody screaming. I was like, get me out of here.
So what you're saying is there's no shortage of runnings of the bulls. They're happening.
Pretty much. Like, if you're there for a month, there's going to be at least two, probably, I would say.
But they happen toward the end of the month, though, right?
It just depends. It depends which towns are in, like, their festival times when, you know?
Yeah. We got to find out.
We'll figure it out.
You know what's funny? It was real viral about the video when I broke my leg, because all the people carried me out, right?
Yeah.
So, a lot of people, I've been doing it for a while, so a lot of people know me. They've seen the videos, and they love how, like, a gringo is supporting this, like, kind of more or less prohibited, like, kind of like frowned upon culture, right?
Yeah.
So they love that. I love it. So as soon as I broke the thing, like 50 people picked me up and they all brought me out. They brought me over to the little fence and I like pulled myself out with like the broken leg. I had to slide under the fence.
Oh,
and put me in a chair, grabbed me somebody's random half of beer. I said, I need a beer right away. They grabbed like half a warm beer out of somebody's hand and just gave it to me. I just drank it and they pulled me up onto the stretcher, took me to the medical thing. But the video was viral and everybody's saying, oh, look, they've robbed the gringo. They left him cleaned out with nothing there. Yeah. They robbed him.
These are the people that flipped the car.
Imagine.
I know. Anytime anything goes viral, most of the comments are just hate comments. Because most people aren't commenting to positive stuff. People want to just spread a little. They feel bad and they want to say, oh, I'm just going to talk some shit online.
Yeah.
Well, so many comments, oh, they robbed him. How bad, how sad, they broke his leg. And then they robbed him for everything he had and stuff.
Yeah.
even there's a video of the guy, he's walking around with my shoe from the leg that didn't break.
Yeah.
Just walking around with it on his head like this, right? They brought my shoe all the way into the medical tent. I thought, I'm never seeing that shoe again, man. They brought me my sunglasses. They brought me my my shoe. I had these sunglasses on my shirt when I got broke my leg, actually. That's the funny part.
That's awesome. How about when they just fire beers up into the stands and they get the Nequi and you could like send them fucking 50 cents for a beer. They just, they're whizzing by my head.
What about the actual condensation off the beer is like hitting you. Yeah. You're like, how are they doing the thing?
They got the cooler and they're like,
that's how they serve the beer. So what's missiles. Lost in translation here is you're in the stands up here in about like, say 20 feet down.
Yeah.
Say 20 feet down. Guy's got a cooler of beer where the bulls are, right? Like, guy's like, yeah, send me two. Two. You're like,
yeah.
And then the guy's like, send them money. Like, this is unbelievable. Yeah. This is like Roman times. Like, it was tremendous. I mean, just to be able to be there and to witness it and to just have those memories, right? And to just keep building these memories is like, for me, it's priceless.
And it's funny, I felt bad. I'm like, man, these guys, I brought them out in the bull, didn't kill not one single person.
Yeah, I was upset. I was a little upset.
And then, they want to give you a hard time posting it because they're saying it's cruelty to animals.
Yeah.
Mike's like, man, I don't even know if I can post this to my Instagram page.
Yeah.
They got a shadow ban me again.
Page.
That's a whole plethora of obstacles.
And how about
navigate.
Everyone just your empty beer cans, everything? You just launch fire them at the bowl. When the bowl goes by, they
actually sell caramels. Here's what they actually do. They actually do this, and Jay can attest to this, right? They have caramel candies that they sell, and people in the stands throw them when the bull's coming because what they do, there's like about 70, 80 people down there running with the bulls like, this crazy guy, right? Like, and they go try to grab the caramel candies, but they're enticing the bull with the caramel candy. So you literally have to risk being impaled by a bull to grab the candies. Hey, 70 cents.
Listen.
70 cents. They're getting, like, you know, if somebody threw like 10 grand, I'd be like, hey, I'm going for that fucking 10 grand. But 70 cents.
I would never do
70 cents for the 10 pack of candy.
Holy shit.
Crazy. That's something I would never do unless they were the caramels with the little white thing in the middle.
Yeah.
The bullseye.
I'll risk it all
for the bullseyes. The package of
bullseyes.
It really
is insane though, man. Like, you got like, most people won't dare to even go down with the bulls. You see people like getting killed and everything. And it's just a dude with a full cooler full of beers, like selling beers down there. And I told him, I was like, this right here is a real man.
No, truth.
This guy's selling beers.
What did you say in Spanish? What did you say to him?
It's un hombre real.
And he said, uno tiene que trabajar. It's like, you know,
say, I
that's
work.
My job.
That's my job, man. I'm like, shh. What kind of fucking job, man? That's crazy. And it's crazy. So whenever the bull stops,
un montón de riesgos. A lot of risks.
And he's only making like 25 cents, 50 cents maximum per each beer. So it's like, man, like how many beers this guy's got to sell to make a day's work? Like,
yeah.
And he's got to carry this big heavy cooler if the bull's coming after him. Like, you can't even.
And listen, how were people sweating, like carrying things? Sun's beaming. Like, man, that's.
Then you got the clowns, the guys dressed like broads. Oh, one coming up to me, Johnny loved that one.
I made a story.
Shit.
I kept telling the guy to harass Beans, right?
Yeah.
Get him. You know what's messed up? It's real. Like, every time something bad happens to me, I always get a humbling experience right after, right? So I broke my leg. I'm there. My foot's all like twisted to the side. I'm praying. I'm like, God, you know, please let me be able to walk normally again someday, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in there and they're telling me they're about to pop my thing back into place. And I'm like, oh shit, dude. I'm like, this sucks, right? And I look next to me is this kind of older guy, right? Probably somebody's grandfather. And he's got the big fake like balloons in his chest. He's wearing a skirt, right? And he's got a big hole in the back of his leg and he's just bleeding out. He's in a pool of blood. he's like passing out next to me, right? And he's got this little skirt on and his balls hanging out, right? Yeah. And I'm like, man.
No dignity in that guy.
I'm like, man. No. I'm not saying this is how your grandfather goes out. Yeah. Go, how'd your grandfather die? And
this ladies and gentlemen, at this point in the podcast, is another lesson of somebody always has it worse.
Somebody always has it worse. I'm like, man, somebody's grandfather's here dying in a skirt with fake titties and their balls. I'm like,
that's terrible, man. I'll take the hanging ankle.
Hey, if that's my grandfather, died in a shootout.
What all I got, man. Yeah,
he took out four of them before they got him.
I'm looking at him like, man, this leg shit really is nothing. I'm like, hey, stop being a big bitch.
You know what's crazy? I remember you telling me that, and that's like, that really fucking happened. So do you think he pulled through or what?
Probably. I've seen they were stitching him up right there, dude. They were stitching him up. The blood was just coming out. They were just stitching him up right there. Just like,
just hoping it wasn't internal.
With basically no.
Yeah, antiseptic.
Just wiped him down with one alcohol wipe.
What a dirty sock.
Pretty much, man.
Bottle of water and a dirty sock.
Justin, what do you think? You want to come? We'll do the running with the Bulls?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. No, listen. Off limits. I mean, you got a kid on the way, right?
Oh, yeah, I got two.
Two kids on the way. So that would mean that you have a girlfriend. That would imply you have a girlfriend.
Wife, he's married. Look at the wedding band.
You're married,
come on,
right?
Man.
Yeah, then the Columbia's out for you, stud.
Yeah.
That's it.
Got the clown ring.
I
can
sell her on.
You can sell her on it? Well, listen, we need you as a delegate for the 800 people that can't.
Beautiful nature, colonial architecture, man.
Yeah, colonial architecture.
Beautiful architecture.
Oh, yeah.
Great architecture.
Yeah, Mexico. Mexico. But, yeah. I got to get on there next time. Johnny, you going to get on?
Where?
The Bulls.
The Bulls, man.
Mike, I'll give it a shot. I just follow you. Listen, you told me a long time ago, Mike, when we started this whole thing.
I'll do the thinking around
you.
You
do the thinking around this? I just follow.
Don't tell me John
got
the 8-pack for nothing, man.
Yeah, exactly. The Bulls will probably bounce off him.
Johnny, you're
going to
be faster than the Bulls. You're
going to
be faster than Mike.
Good point.
That was also
in that case, I'll go.
What was the quote?
That was also a famous quote I said right before I got hit by the Bulls. Like, you don't got to be the fastest. You just don't got to be the slowest.
Yeah, I like that. And look how that turned out, Justin.
That video is great. I wish I saw the video of you, that one of you going under the fence and getting carried out. I didn't see that one. I saw the one with you because would you have a GoPro on or something? You had something.
After the thing, I didn't even, I was recording the whole time. I didn't even notice I had the GoPro in my hand until I was like going under the fence, man. Because I was just like, look at my shit. My leg is all the way sideways, man. This don't look too good.
Shock.
So I was like, oh, my God.
The body's in shock.
But then because, like, the bull is still in there. The bull just came out. So they're like, they can't bring me to the door where, like, the horses and stuff go out because then the bull could get out. So he's got to bring me to the fence. And it was literally, like, maybe this much space. Yeah. So I just had to lay down.
Oh, man, I don't know.
And just slide myself like that.
Well, you gave up food anyway, Mike, so you're good.
Yeah, I gave up food, you know?
Let's fall off the motorcycle.
Yeah. So what else am I going to say about the fucking, about you with the Bulls? Oh, man.
Tell me about the hospital.
Oh, yeah. No, that's where I was going with it. About you haggling over the price of getting your foot fixed. Because anyone knows when you're down there, you gotta, when someone tells you how much something costs, you gotta beat them down because they're usually gonna give you the gringo price. But him, he can speak Spanish, so he's got a leg up on everything. I gotta pull out Google Translate and stuff.
Yeah, and he has a guy that's a native guy.
What?
You know what I mean? And he has
got a lot of friends and stuff. I'm lucky. I really am blessed to have a lot of good people around me. When I broke my leg, right? First of all, my friend's family, they came in their car and they picked me up in the car. They brought me to the hospital. I was hoping I was just dislocating the ankle, but they looked and like, dude, your ankle's fucked up. And like, all your ligaments are done, basically.
They're like, you're walking tonight without crutches, right?
Yeah, man. I'm.
You're getting there.
A different
huh?
breed, man. I'm back straight to it, man.
And listen, we're back to Columbia in 7 days, kids. So brace yourself.
Guys, I couldn't be going back on the crutches.
No.
But so I'm there. I'm like, they tell me like, oh, the bone is fractured and the ankle's dislocated bad. Like, you're going to need surgery. I was hoping I would just like be able to heal up. So then a friend of mine was telling me like service is pretty bad. Like, if they send you to the hospital now in the ambulance, you're going to have to pay the ambulance. You're going to have to like probably wait there who knows how many days. they'll probably be expensive in the hospital. They're like, let me call a friend of mine who works at a clinic and we'll try to get you in the clinic with them. So the guy tells me tomorrow morning I can go up there and they'll like do the surgery on me. So I'm like, all right, sounds good, right? He tells me to take some pill for the pain. I take it. I call my dad because my dad's a nurse, so I always call him about any medication I took. And I was like, that's like ibuprofen. That's not going to do nothing. I'm in bed, right? I'm in bed and I'm breathing in pain. I'm like, and I'm like, I'm laughing. Every time I'm like breathing in pain, I'm laughing about what a bitch I sound like. Yeah. Like it's crying. I'm like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. I can't believe I'm sounding like this. So I just in my house, right? With my ankle, like just popping in and out of place and the leg, just like foot just moving around. I'm just sleep the night at my house.
To save money.
And then I go to the hospital the next day. On the way to the hospital the next day, I stop at where the bull running event is. I have my friends help me hobble out of the car, right? And I take a picture. Foot's
dangling around.
With the like just the wraps from the clinic, right? Just
to like, be young, Mike, to be young.
And I take a picture of my two friends there. I said, should I go in again today or what? And then they took me to the hospital, man, and the guy did not operate on me the first day. They started asking me. They told me, like, oh, the surgery's probably going to be expensive. They're like, but if you had gotten in, like, a motorcycle accident or something, the motorcycle insurance will help cover that, right? So I'm like, nice. Naturally, I've gotten into a motorcycle accident as well.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to pay. So the guy's there. He's asking me what happened. I'm like, yeah, man, like, I got into a motorcycle accident. Yeah. He's like, around what time? I'm like, He's like, dude, I seen the fucking bull running video. Like, you don't got to just tell me whatever lie and I'm going to write it down, man. I'm just doing my job. I'm like, all right. So I tell him, oh, yeah, around this time.
That's cool. And he's like, I'll work with you. It's like a lawyer. So what's your story?
He's like, bro, my job.
Could it have happened this way? Yeah. It's like the feds, too.
Was it a motorcycle accident?
He's like, I'm trying to, like, think the details. He's like, dude, I seen the video, bro. Like, I don't care. He's like, I'm just doing my job. So they take me up to the room. The nurses are taking pictures with me. Everybody's seen the video, right? Then the administrators of the hospital come in and they're like, we know this is fraud, like you trying to commit fraud. I'm there, I'm waiting for the surgery, right? And then I think I already paid a good chunk of it, right? Because they told me if I want to get operated on now, I got to pay a good chunk, right? So I pay like $1,250 right there.
That
right?
Killed you. I know. Oof,
it killed me, right?
Jay, man. That killed you.
So I'm like, but
you're taking what you can do with that $1,250.
Oh. So now I haven't eaten all day. I'm waiting for the surgery. They told me $1,250. I'm like, so if I pay it right now, you're going to operate on me right now. They're like, yeah, we'll operate on you right now. So I pay it. I'm just waiting around. No food all day. Waiting for my surgery. Waiting around. At like 7 o'clock at night, the administrators come and tell me they know I committed fraud. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So they start telling me how they're not. I got to pay everything up front. Full $1,500, $1,700, right? I got to pay it all up front. And yeah, exactly. I'm like, Jesus
you
Christ.
You got it, Jay.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, right. And they're like, then they come in and tell me about how I did fraud and stuff. I said, look, I'm already paying out of pocket. So, like, what do you even give me this shit for? Right. They're like, well, all right, whatever. So I pay the thing. They do the surgery. I come in. I'm like, I'm coming out of the anesthesia. So I'm there right after they did the surgery. And I'm in the bed. And I'm like, and they're like, hey, you know your name and stuff. First of all, they gave me an epidural for the anesthesia.
Now, what is an epidural again?
It's what they give to pregnant chicks.
Yeah. Right. That's why I didn't know that.
I didn't even know that could mess your back up and stuff. They're like, don't move. I'm like, what?
That's in the
and
spine?
They stick a big spot needle in my spine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a spinal tap. It's like a spinal tap.
But like, they just tell me, like, don't move. Not like, hey, don't move. This is going to hurt. They're like, don't move. And they stick it in me. I'm like moving and my back is hurting for like days after, right? And then I'm like, so then I can't move my legs.
Hold on, Mike. You want to get in the arena? You want to get in the arena now? Yeah. Tough guy. Yeah.
So then I'm like looking down. There are all these surgeons in the room. They're like, can you move your legs? I'm like, no, right? They're like, all right, we're going to start the surgery. So I'm like, so you're going to cut into my leg right now? They're like, yeah. He's like snapping the gloves on, scalpel in his hand. I'm like, and then, yeah, just stay calm. I'm like, stay calm. Like, this motherfucker's about to cut into my leg, right?
You got to watch it?
I'm awake, right? So I'm like,
they didn't even give you like any like twilight.
They just gave me the epidural like a pregnant chick.
Oh shit!
So then I'm like,
wow, you know how sick that is.
So I'm kind of freaking out. I'm like, oh my god, right? I'm like, oh my god, like, so you guys are just gonna, I'm gonna be awake for this, right? Like, I'm like, what if I move? They're like, oh, nah, you'll be all right. So I'm like, I'm kind of like, I'm trying to stress it out. I'm like, they're really doing this right now?
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we're going to give you this thing. It might make you feel a little dizzy, but we're going to give you, it might help you like relax a little bit.
Your leg starts like turning colors too, right?
They put a little thing on me. dude, I started hallucinating. I started seeing like all kinds of like colors, look like sand, and Egyptian patterns. I can hear them.
I saw my arm turn different colors. I got to break mine. Something like that. Right? So it was weird. Yeah.
So I'm there. I'm like looking. I'm like trying to focus on these beautiful patterns. I can hear like the doctor cracking jokes. Like, hey. I hear him like drilling the nail, the things in. I can open my eyes. I see this guy's hands covered in blood. He's like joking, trying to slap another nurse. Like, hey, they didn't shake my leg or anything. Right?
Count me out, stud.
So I wake up from the anesthesia or whatever this wild hallucinogenic drug they gave me was, right? And they're like, you know who you are? I'm like, Jay, like, you know when you're like what your birthday is? I'm like, yeah. They're like, all right, sign this paper right here. I'm like, well, what is it? They're like, oh, it's just the medical history. So I'm looking at it and it's just like a bunch of like checked off boxes and stuff. I didn't really understand. I read the bottom, it's like, you committed fraud because you said so they had the nicest nurse, like, yeah, just sign, it's your medical history. I'm like, all right, I'm almost about to sign. I see it's that you lied here, you broke your leg in the bull running, and you said it was on a motorcycle accident. This is fraud, and you blah blah blah. I said, well, I'm not signing this shit. She's like, well, why not? I'm like, because it's not true, man. I got into a motorcycle accident. Right? Now they're like, all right, whatever. So they bring me outside into the bed. They wouldn't let the people who were with me come in and see me yet. Now this administrator, the one who said she got me for fraud originally, she comes out and she tells me, like, look, we need you to sign this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, for what? I'm like, it's lies. She's like, look, stop messing around. Like, we know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, it's not a lie, because even though you saw that video where it looked like I may have broke my leg in the bull running, they told me it was just dislocated and I had a friend bring me home. And due to my bad luck, on the way home, I crashed in the morning. Bad luck. So then she just pissed. And then they just like basically just then they come to me, right? So due to this bad treatment, when they said they were going to operate on me and try to tell me fraud. So I basically went 2 days, no eating, no water, because I was waiting for the surgery.
Yeah.
So the administrator said, you're going to have to pay the $17.50, no more, no less. I'm like, all right. So right when I get out of the anesthesia, they're like, hey, actually, the materials were less than we said.
Oh, all right.
So I'm like, great, they're gonna give me some fucking money back. Nice. They're like, but they had to use some other stuff so it actually jumped back up to like higher price. I'm like, what other stuff, man? I just talked to the doctor. He said everything went perfectly normal, nothing out of the usual, right? So what extra stuff did they have to use? He's like, oh, I don't know. They my friends go down, they fight with the administrators. The administrator comes back up. He's like, I'm sorry, just like I said, just the $17.50, that's it. I pay the $17.50. And then I have to get out of there. They wanted everything cash too, those fucking.
Yeah, of course.
And then they didn't give me no instructions, nothing, no checkups. They were pissed I didn't pay all the extra money they kept trying to charge me. No boot. They told me I didn't need the boot. I just had some like small town doctor just come and change my bandages every day.
Yeah. Nice. He was a guy?
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, man.
I'm not going to lie. I'm
a woman nurse.
I was thinking after that, I was like, man, dude, this is fine. Like, my chances of getting puss after this are like at an all-time low, right? Dude, I was still killing it with the broken leg, man.
I know. I was reading in the club, man.
They love the long walks, kid.
I had this real smooth line that like real smooth romantic line that the ladies loved. I'd say, look, I got one fucked up leg, but I still got two that work. And they're like, oh. I remember I had this chick, she was like, she was helping me with the bandages. I'm like, oh my God, you're activating my other leg? And that seemed to work like a charm, man.
So there's a lot of girls down in Columbia, though.
No? Yeah, apparently. Oh,
really? I was looking at the architecture.
So here's my thing, too. Like, when you get surgery in the United States, you always end up getting staph infections. Is that prevalent down there like it is here? You know, here, yeah.
No, man, apparently not, dude.
Yeah.
I was still going out to the club, going out.
Yeah. When I looked at your leg on the boat, Mike, I even said it to you. I said, yo, the fucking 1,000% this kid's leg's infected.
Yeah.
Because it was huge, bro. Yeah. It took the boot off.
As my dad says, I got Hulk foot and it was angry at the time.
So what did it actually end up becoming infected?
No, it was not infected. It's just the swelling can go on for a month. Like, my foot is still pretty huge. I just slammed into the shoe I got on. True, good for the podcast, man.
I love it.
And that you do.
Yeah.
But then I still probably will have Hulk foot for about like at least another like 2 months probably, man.
Why? Just fluids in there?
Just fluids, just like
But you got it checked and it's not infected. I mean, Jay, you would know. No, it's not infected. Okay.
I say it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, Jay, you're a nurse, huh?
Yeah. No, yeah. So I was going to be a doctor, but, you know, there were the parents to help me.
Your parents gave you some bad advice. So you'll live your life. Yeah, no advice at all. Sounds like mine. Yeah, so your foot's, what do you say, 70%?
Probably like 85%.
All right, you're almost there.
Yeah, I can limp around pretty decent speeds now, so it's pretty good.
So what have you been doing since you got back? Just biding your time until you can go back?
Waiting to go back.
To the motherland?
Basically, man. I'm getting better care over there. Like, I'd be like, hey, excuse me, can you get me some water or something? They'd be like, oh, yeah, don't just stay right there. I'll grab you whatever. You want some food or something? I'd be like, yeah, please, right? I'm like, hey, mom, can you grab me some water? She's like, you can't get it yourself. Like, seem to be doing everything else just perfectly fine. Smoking that weed, no problem. And you can go outside and smoke the weed, but you can't get yourself a cup of water. I'm like, oh, God, man.
Going back to Colombia.
I'm like, I'm going back to Colombia, man. People never treated me like this, man.
Yeah, I see your videos. You said, because it was cold and rainy. I mean, we got lucky. I told Johnny at the St. Patty's Day parade in Southie, we were in the parade, and it was
opening day of the Sox.
65 degrees. Opening day at the Sox, 65 degrees. And then even like a week ago, it was freezing, windy, rainy. Like, we got lucky, but when you got back, it was shitty for a while. I think it finally broke the weather, like yesterday and today. Seems it was like
it was great yesterday and today.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I called before I came back, said, how's the weather? It's, oh, it's getting nice now. I came back, I'm like, wow, this is terrible, man.
Yeah.
But I gave you the greatest call ever. I said, listen, get ready. We're going back to Colombia.
So what do you think about going back in the 2 weeks? So I'm like, let's make it happen, man.
How about that boat we rented? Though?
Oh, man.
We rented this big speedboat. It was a Lamborghini boat. It was we had a good time.
It was Jay's birthday. We celebrated Jay's birthday.
One of the most legendary birthdays. The only Lamborghini boat had these four huge engines on the back.
I thought you were going to say four huge asses.
I was busy looking at the architecture at the time. Yeah.
You had a good birthday, right? Hanging out with me and Mike.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
And the boat had these huge speakers. There's blasting music. It was like
It was cool.
Personal party boat. It was cool. Great. Lamborghini boat, too.
We had a really good time.
I remember I was I got a call from this lady. Who kind of oversee something I do, something in my professional aspect of life. And she's kind of fed up with me. And she's kind of like a regulator or something. I had to go for an ethics committee. It's a long story. But this lady, when I was on the boat, I always say Pepito, whatever his name.
Pelito.
Pelito's like, hey, your phone's ringing. And I'm out like walking around and like, yeah, it's okay. Oh, the same number keeps calling you. I'm like, oh, I go look and it's this woman. And I'm like, oh man, right? So I'm like, the music's real loud in the boat. So I'm like running away from the boat. I'm like, hello. She's like, you know, she was cutting to the chase. I says, so I figure I'd say, you know, I'm out of the country at the moment. When I come back, so I says, well, excuse me, I'm out of the country at the moment. And she says, I know you're out of the country. I think everybody knows you're out of the country. And then she said, it's common knowledge you're out of the country. I was like,
and then listen.
Okay, then. How about them Red Sox? How was it?
And then shortly thereafter, which they just brought up in this podcast I did tonight, they said, Mike found the time to look through the peephole and say, look at Johnny, what my girl just designed.
Making time with my girl. Because we're on this like private island. I walk all the way down the end.
You see a little hole in the fence.
And I go all the way down the end to like this island. And there's just this like wooden shack. Like they, you know.
With the little chicken. With the little skinny chicken
running around with a fire burning.
The yard bizzle.
You know that thing was getting slaughtered. Right? And I'm like walking around like I'm in this little, you know, their little house, right? It's crazy how island people live. But it's like, they live so simple, just like you when you're out there and, you know, doing your thing, right? And like you said, you could go to school and be a doctor. Let's not be a slave away your whole life. And for what? Those people live simple. And you know what? They're happy. They probably live fucking longer with dying of fucking heart attacks and fucking
stress,
obesity. You know,
that's a whole other story for another episode.
Start shooting Ozempic soon. You know what I mean?
Bring Ozempic to Colombia, right?
And then next, I could probably get it there for cheaper, right? I always wanted to get some.
Have it, man.
I bet they do.
They got another weight loss drug. Check
it out. Yeah, they do have another weight loss drug over there for $8 a gram.
Check it out.
They got it, Matt, man.
They got Ozempic and powder form. Like.
Yeah, Donald, we're going to keep you away from that, all right? Donald's been sober a while, but he liked to smoke the old, the old rock.
I think it's a weakness we all have. Yeah. Well, us three anyway.
Donald was the master of it. He used to drive around and smoke these big boulders. And one time he taped his crack pipe to the console of his car. And he had a tube that came from him. He ran it under his shirt up into his mouth.
He'd be driving
down the highway with a lighter, right? Hitting it. So I get a call. He's like, I had a seizure. You know, I did a big hit. I had a seizure and crashed my car. I go, where? He goes, on the side of the little connector. So he's in the hospital. We're going back to the thing because he had a big thing of rocks all over the thing. So he's in the car looking around, the glasses all shattered. He rolled the fucking
car. That's amazing.
He had the pipe taped to the thing with
that
the tube.
That is amazing.
Under his shirt. He was very crafty.
Now listen, that's ingenuity right there. That's what built this country.
Ingenuity, kid.
It really is, man.
Yeah, but how long have you been sober now, Donald?
I'm not counting. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. Hopefully never again. I always say to him and like all of us, at our age, you know, obviously not you, but could you imagine doing a big blast. Now, our hearts would just explode. I mean, my heart's probably in tough shape anyway from pounds of gold to gold.
I go out and have 5 hours of sleep. I'm wrecked the next day. I can't believe people actually drink, do drugs.
I couldn't imagine getting
and
up
and get 5 hours of sleep. Yeah. How does that? What does that look like?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the drugs are for, man.
That day on the boat, Johnny's hey, we're on that boat in the sun all day. Then I'm out with him till fucking 3 in the morning and some fucking hoods and
straight 100% sober.
Yeah,
when I was a lot of beers, man. We're on the hood. We're in this goes like this neighborhood in Cartagena. It's like I've been there quite a few times, but you never ever see another tourist there. It's all the local clubs. All the tourists just stay in the historic center. I'm there with Mike. We're just there.
Fucking whiter than a cup of milk.
Nice.
Yeah, but had it, you know, like you said, your birthday, legendary birthday, time of our life.
We had
a
great day.
It was awesome, and hopefully many more. But
we got part two coming soon, man.
Yeah, well, we do
part
have part
two coming
soon.
Part two.
Real quick before we wrap this up, so shout out Brockton, right? Where'd you grow up?
Brockton,
you grew up outside of Brockton, in Brockton.
I grew up in Brockton.
Yeah, Brockton. We had somebody from Brockton on a few weeks ago. Scotty
Ginger Ninja.
No, he's from. No.
He had Whitman. That's where his
Yeah, Whitman. Yeah, Scotty's from McLeod's from
Scotty
Brockton.
McLeod, yeah.
When we were down there, that crazy shooting happened in Brockton. A bunch of young kids got fucking blasted. That was fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah, a few weeks ago, right?
Not yeah, long. Like a month ago. It was happened when we were in Columbia. But yeah, Jay, I met you down there, and you're just a good dude. Like you said, that's why people like you, because you're yourself. You know,
that's why I love you guys. You guys are genuine guys, spreading positivity.
Yeah.
It's enjoying life, man. It's an inspiration to see.
Thank you. Awesome. Just try to be myself like you. You're yourself. What you see is what you get. Johnny, same thing.
100%.
And it was a pleasure meeting you and your father's, you know, just a great guy. And we'll be seeing you soon down in Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for coming
soon.
On.
Here we go.
To wrap in the books, baby.
My man. Awesome.
Taz in.
Really good. Here we go. Part two coming soon.
Oh, yeah. What's it? YouTube again and your Instagram.
Tarzan Travels on Instagram. J_McAvoy on Instagram and J_McAvoy on Facebook. JayMcAvoy.
Let's fucking go.
You're going to see the crazy part two of the Columbia trip coming soon.
You know it.
1 week away.
Let's go. All right, boys. Beat shooter. Ice coffee, take a sip, toss it.